Hi, and welcome to this podcast. I'm Isabel, and I'm hosting this interview podcast in which I'm talking to inspiring personalities in the field of social entrepreneurship within Europe. In this podcast episode, I'm talking to Maria, the founder of Good Socks. As you can probably imagine, the company sells socks, but not in an usual way. With each pair you buy, you donate one pair for a person in need. Maria gives interesting insights into the process of having an idea that eventually turns into a company. She speaks about her motivation of making an impact and the energy she gets when being surrounded by people who share the same vision. Also, she speaks very honestly about struggles and the situation of being surrounded by people who do not get the idea of a social startup. In my opinion, she's very down to earth, and you can say that she's an inspiring and brave young woman that strives for a better world. All right, could you represent yourself and your company, so what you are doing?
My name is Maria, and I'm currently studying digital entrepreneurship and started my little Good Socks about 2 months ago, probably. And then Good Socks is a company that sells socks, and for each pair of socks sold, we donate one pair to a person in need in Berlin.
That's great. And why socks?
I wanted to have the whole clothing line at the very beginning. However, it is very complicated to have your own label, which I found out pretty soon, especially if you have no background in design whatsoever. So the whole idea was I wanted to have like a cool streetwear brand, hoodies, bags, all that. But it's, first of all, you have to have a lot of knowledge and a lot of work for one person. And I didn't know where to start, really.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And one of the ideas was maybe I'm going to create an event where after event about like homelessness and what can we do, blah, 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 you can get a pair of socks. And the same concept, but only event-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you go to an event, and after a while, you have a chance to get a pair of socks, and one pair of socks will get donated. Then I thought, why don't I do just the whole thing about the socks? Because also socks are the most needed item among people living on the streets, socks and underwear. So that's basically, if you go on the website of the charity, and they usually have the lists of the most needed items, socks is always there, socks and underwear.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty, let's say, it's very difficult for me still, but it was a very easy start to go to the topic. So, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And so where did you get the idea from? Because you said in the first run you wanted to do a whole clothing line, but before that, so one step back, I mean, where did the idea come from that you said, okay, I want to found something and I want to do something good?
Sure, yeah. There was no one moment, I guess. I studied business in my bachelor's, and I truly went into studying business just for a sole purpose of money. Like, just that was it. I wanted to make money, and that's why I studied business. But then after my Erasmus, I went on volunteering for 2 weeks in Israel at the Food Rescue restaurant in Haifa. I don't know, like, I think the energy was so inspiring, all these people working there just for a sole purpose of doing something. It was something amazing about being surrounded by people who were there only because of the purpose, of the sole purpose of saving food and doing all of that. And I worked for many for-profit companies before, and I have never had this energy around me. And that's, I guess that's it. Not sure if that's the turning point or is,
yeah.
But that was one of the points where, like, I want this energy forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want to be surrounded by people like that and connected business background with the sole purpose that I've experienced.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool, actually. And you are collaborating with an organization, right? Maybe you can tell us a bit about the organization and what they're actually doing and how your collaboration looks like.
Mm-hmm. So I'm... Right now, I'm collaborating with Rice Foundation, the organization was founded in Berlin around 2 years ago, over 2 years ago right now. And I used to be an intern at Rice Foundation Partnerships for a little bit. And I wasn't a very good intern, if we're completely honest. I was very overwhelmed and not that great. But the organization is fantastic. So basically what they do is they organize twice a month to three times a month tours around Berlin, when they distribute food and hygiene items and anything the homeless person would need. And their approach to that is amazing, because they for example, they have an app. I don't have my phone with me, but they have an app where you can find all the shelters in the area. So if you see a homeless person, you can actually write down the shelter close to them.
Okay.
And it's amazing, because whenever I volunteer, I feel like I gain so much from the experience. Mm-hmm. You talk to people and I don't know, first of all, it feels great just to spend your weekends doing something that actually makes sense instead of binging Netflix.
Yeah.
And second of all, I truly feel like I'm gaining more from the experience than the people we help. Yes, in a self-development kind of way. Mm-hmm. And that's the organization. That's what they do. I donate socks to them.
Okay, and so then they will bring it to the homeless people, right? Okay. Do you know how many people, or roughly how many people, work in that organization? Or is it just in Berlin, or is it
It's Berlin only. I would say, I'm not sure if there are any interns, like, right now.
Yeah.
Two people who are actually the heads of the organization. They're the main people there who... If you're contacting Rice Foundation, you're probably going to reach one of two people.
Okay, yeah. Cool. You say on your website that you put a lot of effort in finding the right organization. So maybe you can tell us why you chose the organization you chose. So was it because you actually knew the people and knew their work? Or were there also other aspects that were important for you for a collaboration?
That's pretty much it, because I knew the organization and I knew that they had an actual impact. Mm-hmm. Why I chose the organization. I would love to support more, but I don't have enough socks so far. So,
okay, well, maybe in the long run.
I mean, in the long run, I would love to have a bigger impact, but unfortunately, it's,
Okay, cool. But you produce your socks also in Poland, right? And then you import them. Maybe you can tell us a bit about the whole process, because correct me if I'm wrong, but your situation was that you were actually a student. So you started kind of meanwhile. And I guess that's a huge lot of work, especially if it's a one-woman show. And then I could imagine that most people or most students wouldn't really know how to start, especially in, I don't know, how do y'all find a partner who produce it, who design the socks? So the whole process.
My university has a Gründungszentrum at... We have it at our university. So I do really owe a lot to the Gründungszentrum because they helped me out a lot at the very beginning.
Okay.
And that would be my advice to anyone who would start or is thinking about starting their own business. Mm-hmm. Just look for support around you. And usually if you're a student, you will get support fairly easily. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of organizations supporting entrepreneurship and innovation and all of that. So that was the first step. First step was sending an email in 2017. And 3 years later, bam, there's a company. Basically, when I started, oh my God, I started with an app. I wanted to, then it was a clothing line. And it was, there were a lot of other projects before Good Socks came along. But throughout the process, I've learned a lot, mm-hmm. which I really value right now. And I remember the one biggest support I got was just consulting hours, mm-hmm. with specialists. So I had my main business consultant. I had a tax advisor. I had some hours with tax advisor and lawyers, and all of that's where I could ask very basic and very dumb questions at the very beginning. Actually, no, no, yeah. I didn't know. Yeah. I had no idea. And after that, I changed the idea a lot. I thought, like, I went abroad for half a year to Italy. I had a time to sit on the idea and think through the idea. And when I came back, I started working on the socks, mm-hmm. basically. More or less. Like, I needed a little bit more time to think about the idea, but then pretty much started with good socks. And then the call to come back to your question, finding a manufacturer was the hardest thing I have ever had to do in my entire life. It was so difficult, especially if you're calling them on behalf of yourself without having a company.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine, yeah.
Oh my God, you call them and you're like, hi, my name is Maria and I would like to ask, like, I didn't know how to speak. I forgot. I remember picking up the phone and I could not form a sentence that made sense because I didn't know how. Yeah. I didn't know how to, you know, request an order, how to order socks. It's like very difficult, very difficult. I was turned down multiple times.
Okay.
But then I found a manufacturer that was really cool. He was like, okay, so you're working on the project. And I started talking in a plural form. So I was like, we are working on the project. Yeah.
That's smart.
Just to feel safer a little bit. Because when talking as a collective, which is collective is me and my other personality, it was so much easier to be talking to a person. And at the very beginning when I was talking, like calling them and being like, hi, my name is Maria, being straight up, that made me feel so insecure talking, mm-hmm. to a company. I felt way more secure, like even calling on the behalf of someone else, but not myself, mm-hmm. because whenever I got rejected, I felt like it's really hard. Whereas using the plural form was a perfect solution for that.
That's actually really good advice.
You guys, you're welcome. If you open your own socks business, that's the way to go. And so that was a very long process and getting sent samples. One thing that people who have a physical product, I think, have to be aware of is ordering samples and how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
Before even producing anything, just to getting, yeah. samples and collecting samples and trying out different manufacturers who said yes, and pretty much there's like a chunk of money that you're just throwing out the window, mm-hmm. you're just trying, and those were like this cost that nobody told me about. And yeah, pretty much the manufacturer, the money, I worked two jobs. I remember I was killing myself to save up for my first batch of socks.
Okay, wow. May I quickly interrupt here just to ask a short question here, because you said it's way more cost than you expected. So was there a little, yeah. moment where you thought, okay, now I'm going to skip the whole project because...
Every day.
Okay.
I don't know. I do have this thought every day, or like every second day, where I'm like, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. The numbers don't add up since, like, so. And at the very beginning, I think at the very beginning, I had way more energy than I do have right now. I'm a little, mm-hmm. bit just tired from the process of, I guess, like thinking about the idea all the time, constantly. You're never off, mm-hmm. because you're like, oh, is it good? Is it a good idea? And then I'm does it even make sense? It's not even like that big of an impact. Like you have so many thoughts in my head. Like I had so many thoughts and still have so many thoughts in my head where does it really make sense? Maybe I should just get a full-time job and just volunteer on the weekends. And that's like, maybe that would be a bigger impact than what I'm doing right now, struggling to build this little thing. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, yes, I do have doubts about myself.
I have one thought about this, but first as I just interrupted you, I just want to let you continue and then.
So I got the samples and then finally I found a manufacturer that I really liked and was nice to me and was sort of very approachable. And yeah, there was the whole process, you know. It's I don't remember anymore as vividly, but I remember like designing the label. That's 20 decisions right there. It's crazy. I was looking at socks day and night because it's like you decide, oh, what kind of thread do you want, what kind of materials you want to use, what kind of this thing that connects the label to the sock, what's the material should be. Never in my life have I thought about that, those things, and all of a sudden so basically there was a lot of decision to be made, and it was very exciting but very scary because it was a huge investment. And that's pretty much when it comes to socks. And when it comes to socks that I donate, because those are not the same socks, which is one detail that it's really important to communicate. I was talking to the manufacturer and I was, listen, like the project is about donating socks to the homeless, and I'm looking for a manufacturer also for the socks for the homeless people. And the biggest thing for me was, first of all, they have to be as big as possible, basically. Like, so the size is up because you never know. Usually people on the streets are men. And depending on the season, you need different socks. So it's like there's like, obviously, right? And he said, like, listen, we have stock of socks that we cannot sell because they have an aesthetic defect. So basically, those are socks that could not be sold to the retailer because of discoloration, or because of, I don't know, like the small defects that don't really influence the quality of the socks, but are a little bit of like the aesthetic aspect. He's like, I can totally sell it to you. So basically, like the way I do it is like I order the socks for me, then I order the socks from the manufacturer that otherwise would be. I'm not sure if they'd be thrown away, but they would be laying in their warehouses. So that's how it works.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Yeah, and regarding your doubts, because also in my previous interview episodes, I sometimes ask the question, like, if you have ever have doubts, or, and then people are actually not always, but a lot of times saying, well, I'm thinking, as you said, that they're thinking every day about the project or the company. And interestingly, actually also what I read on your website, you wrote that, I just quote, turn your habits can be an act of everyday activism. And then you further wrote, we believe in building a world where making an impact becomes a part of your daily routine. And when I read it, I was like, yeah, I absolutely agree, because I think that, doing voluntary work is crucial, I think, that people are doing this. But I also think that if we want to really change, or really want to reach a change in society and economy, then there needs to be the link between both. And yeah, I think that's actually what you're doing.
So basically, this part about making giving back your daily routine came from frustration with myself, because I remember, and it happened multiple times, I remember having coffee in a very fancy coffee shop, like in those like hipster coffee shops in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're sitting there and you're enjoying your coffee, yada, yada, yada. And then you go out and you see people living on the streets. And basically, like for the coffee I just got, I could get that man a meal, but I didn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So basically, but then again, doesn't make sense to cut back at all on all the pleasures in your life. And it was just like such a internal conflict, because, you know, I used to judge people who judge. I would look, I don't know how to put it, but there's, you know, we like to point out what other people have without giving back. Like, oh, look at this guy owning a Ferrari, mm-hmm. driving a Ferrari, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But if I look at my spendings, a lot of the spendings, my everyday spendings, are not necessary to my existence. Like, it's, I will survive without my coffee, and yeah. I will survive without many things that I have. I can, you know, and it's really hard, at least for me, to draw a line between necessities and wants, and where do I give back? So I would, mm-hmm. so the idea was creating products that I would want to buy anyway, but are good as a side product. Does it make sense in it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my internal struggle, because I see that in myself, and then I judge myself, and I judge others, which is, you know, I have, who the hell am I to judge anyone, you know? And I think the real core is to creating products and encourage companies to create products that do both, that, mm-hmm. that fulfill our needs and wants while they give back, because there's enough, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I agree. Do you face the situation sometimes that people don't really understand why you're doing it? Because when I spoke to other social entrepreneurs, I sometimes heard that that they are not complaining, but that they are saying that sometimes people who they speak with don't really get the point, because they say, well, if you want to do something good, why don't you do a voluntary thing? And then if you do a company out of it and then kind of making money, like, does it make sense somehow? So do you face this situation as well?
People questioning my integrity. So like,
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, you're making money. So Yeah, people making it seems like giving back and creating a company.
Yeah,
should be like, it's one or the other, not directly. So mm-hmm. most of my customers are very, very sweet. I mean, actually, mm-hmm. for now, 100% of my customers are very, very sweet, and all the feedback I get is very constructive. And it's, you have to understand, I'm also like a very small company. I'm very new. So the website launched over 2 months ago. So it wasn't mm-hmm. like, it's not, so I'm very new to the game. But my, I guess to, in a way you put it in a way, oh, why you're making profit? Why don't you just do something good instead? Voluntarily. Not really, but I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure it's coming. So I'm already scared of that, because I know. Because my parents are like that. And my parents are my biggest, let's say, how do I say it? My parents were very against the idea the whole time. They still are. Not because, I don't know the reason why. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe they would want to have the sex company on their own. But my parents do not understand the concept. Just don't grasp the concept. Like, they don't think it's cool. They don't think it's something that necessarily very impactful. So I guess to go back to your question, I think my parents would be the example.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, I don't know, because I don't know your parents, but I could imagine that it's also a matter of generation. I mean, of course, it's not black and white, so I don't want to say the generations like this and the other generations like that. However, I do think that there is a change in the way of our generation is perceiving work in general, so that there is a shift that people want to do something good and something with purpose. And yeah, I can imagine that the generation of our parents just grew up in a kind of different mindset. So I don't know.
It has something to do with that. And yeah, it's, yeah, probably that, probably looking at the background of my parents. It has something to do with the background and the way they look at the profit and money. Mm-hmm. It's like profit's profit, and this should be, you know, separate.
So, well, I actually have one last question. So is there, I mean, you just said that you started 2 months ago, that you launched your shop, but you also said that you're working now for a while on the whole idea. So is there anything you would recommend already to someone who is starting now? So something where you say, okay, this, if I would have known this, blah, blah, then my way would be a little bit easier or something like that.
I would say, I don't know, because some of the difficulties I had really helped me now. Mm-hmm. So basically, like, okay, I had this three ideas that failed before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I needed those
three
failures to happen. And I don't wish anyone to fail, but I think sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
And it's just, I would say inform yourself, but it's, I'm pretty sure whatever I'm going to say, people who are thinking about starting their own business, they already know. So join meetups, talk to people about your ideas, talk to people who are actually doing something similar that you want to do, or start working at companies that do what you want to do. Don't surround yourself. If you want to have a startup one day, I would work at the startup rather than an established corporation, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just surround yourself with a crowd that would fit your vision. I don't know. It's maybe it sounds dumb, but surround yourself with the people that you would want to either be your customers or you want to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. That's smart. No, I guess it's also because in the very beginning you told us about the spirit you faced. And I guess it's also about this, that in the surrounding you get more the spirit and this energy somehow.
100%. But I also work part-time at Surplus in the e-commerce.
That's cool.
And that's also a social startup. So for me, I'm surrounded by inspirational people all the time.
Yeah.
Anyone who works at Surplus is amazing. Like, everyone is so driven and everyone's so in on the idea. So
yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you very much. It was really, really nice to talk to you. Yeah, thank you. Okay, cool.
This was an interview with Maria, founder of Good Socks. If you want, you can follow this podcast on Instagram. You can find the correct account spelling in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed this episode and gonna listen to the next one again. Until then, I hope you have a good time and that you stay safe. Bye-bye.